Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
You know, as we look in regard to our relationship with God, our God requires us, after we are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that you and I have an obligation to repent of our sins and to grow according to the standards that God requires of us in order for us to be counted as one of His faithful children. He also wants us to understand the importance of the body. For you and me to be connected with the church and to do all that we can to glorify His holy and righteous name, as we think in regard to our relationship with God, also it means that we need to do what we can to follow the examples of Christ. And good people, that means that you and I, on a daily basis, must study the life of Christ. And what do we find in regard to the life and teachings of Christ? We find is that His life was filled with goodness and kindness towards every person that He came in contact with. And for that reason then, as we look and we find concerning the goodness and the kindness of Christ, these ought to be true characteristics of our life and our walk in Christ. As we think in regard to this, the goodness and the kindness of Christ, I'm reminded of a passage in the book of Mark chapter 1 verses 40 through 45 where the Bible identifies unto us is that a certain leper came to see Jesus. Leprosy was a dreaded disease and it was life-altering to the fact where oftentimes these people were secluded. They were put away from society and in that as they would have been out in society, it was very humiliating. Why? Because as these individuals came in contact with people, they had to cry out, "Leper, leper, I am unclean." And in this, as this leper came to Jesus, we see that he knelt humbly before the Lord. Why did he kneel down before Christ? Good people, I believe because he understood and he saw in Jesus that he was not like a mere man. He saw that Jesus Christ was indeed a very humble individual himself and that Jesus Christ, our Lord, possessed the ability to help him. As this man came to Jesus, the context reveals unto us that he implored of Christ kneeling before him. What does it mean whenever God identifies is that this individual was imploring of Christ? It means that he was begging and pleading with him. As he approached Christ, he then offered a challenge unto our Lord. What was that challenge? He said unto him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Isn't that interesting? He states a confidence in Christ that Christ is going to be able to make him clean, but it's contingent upon if the Lord is willing. A person can have the ability to help someone, but yet at the same time, if they're not willing, no assistance is going to be given. And this man looks into Christ and he says, "If you are willing, you are able to make me clean." Jesus then moves with compassion. Jesus looked upon this individual and as he saw him, he would have recognized not only that this man is suffering from this dreaded disease, but also how it has affected his life. How it has affected his ability to be out in society, to move freely. And Jesus had compassion upon this man. Not only did Jesus have compassion upon this man, good people, the Bible reveals unto us is that you look to the fullness of the life and teachings of Christ is that Jesus was a very compassionate person. He constantly was looking around and about him. And when Jesus saw that people suffered, it affected him. And as Jesus looked at this man, he had compassion upon him. And what did he do? He reached out and he touched this man. The scripture, the context actually says that whenever he had compassion, he stretched out to him. What does that word stretch mean? I believe that it meant that he put forth an effort. Maybe he had to reach around someone. Maybe he had to reach an extra distance. But Jesus was reaching out unto this individual and it was his touch that was going to be able to make this man whole. He had the possession, the power to heal this man of his infirmity. But also you and I know is that Jesus had the power to heal any type of a sickness that would have come upon any individual. And Jesus then, as he reaches out and touches this individual, he says explicitly, "I am willing, be cleansed." He wanted this man to know that you know that if I'm willing to cleanse you, that I'm able to do that? He says, I want you to know that I am willing. And he says, be cleansed. Well, what happened? Immediately. In fact, the Scripture says in verse 42, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus healed this man, gave him his health back, gave him his life back, and allowed him then to go out. And as he was going out, our Lord also gave him some very explicit warning. He gave them great detail in regard to what he could and could not do. He told him, he says, whenever you go out, he said, tell no one anything in regard to my healing of you. Why did Jesus not want this man to say anything? Because our Lord's hour had not yet come. It was not time for Jesus to go to the cross. But also, good people, in this, Jesus knew that he would be surrounded by people who would have just wanted him to cure them. And somebody says, well, isn't that what Jesus came for? By all means, Jesus came in part to heal people, but yet at the same time, he came not necessarily for the physical, but for the spiritual. And if people were just surrounding him, wanting him to heal them, it was going to get in the way of what he came really to do, and that was to seek and to save those who are lost. In all of this, we find is that Jesus instructs this man. He says, don't go and tell anyone, but he says, you go and you show yourself to the priest. Well, why did he tell him to go and show himself to the priest? Good people, because that was a requirement under the law. An individual who had leprosy, they had to go and appear before the priest, and the priest would examine them, and if it was deemed that there was no leper spots on them, then they were identified then as an individual being clean. But he also told him, he says, you go and you offer according to the commandments. You go and you do as Moses has given you commandment. There were offerings, there were rituals, there were things that these individuals who were declared as being free from leprosy had to go and to do. And Jesus says, listen, you need to go and you need to comply with the law in regard to these things. Why? Because Jesus wanted people to know that God's laws were certainly important and that they needed to obey those laws. But also he identifies in the context is that this will serve as a testimony to them, unto the priests as well as to the Jews, that indeed you are whole, that you have been made cure, you've been cured in the sight of God. What is it that this man did then? Good people, the man was not compliant with the rules of Christ. So often that is the case. This man went out and what did he do? He proclaimed freely. Well, what does that mean? It means that he went everywhere telling anyone that he came in contact with, I have been made free of my leprosy from Jesus Christ. He went out and he told, so much so that Jesus could no longer go into a city. Why? Because people were gathering around him. But rather, the Bible reveals unto us that he would have gone into a desert place and still carried on with a proclamation of God's good news concerning salvation. Good people, what are some lessons that we learn here in regard to the goodness of Christ and our God? We understand that God is good, and His love endures forever. You look to the Old Testament Scripture and it's very evident in regard to how good God was to Israel. You turn to the New Testament Scripture and it is very clear how God is good to you and me. He does good in the fact that He provides for all of the essential things that we need in life. But also, we understand the goodness of God as it relates to our relationship with Him through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our God has done good in giving us a means of redemption, and our God has demonstrated His everlasting love by sending His only begotten Son to die at Calvary's cross. Our God has an eternal goodness and love about Him. Psalms 100 and verse 5, but also Psalms 134 and verse 8 invites us to taste and to see the goodness of God. How do we do that? Good people, we do that by accepting Jesus Christ, by confessing Christ to be the Son of the living God, and then by submitting ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sin. Our God is good, and His love endures forever. But also, we understand concerning the goodness and the kindness of our God whenever we look to the life and teachings of Christ. Jesus went everywhere, the Scripture tells us in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, doing good. He lived here upon the earth for approximately 33 years. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to have been able to have been around Jesus whenever He was a young man, just to have seen the way that He acted, just to see the way that He mixed and mingled with people? I think that that would have been pretty cool to have witnessed. Also, though, as He grew, the Scripture says that He grew in favor with both God and man. As Jesus grew, then, we understand that He took upon Himself the responsibilities for which He came for. What were those responsibilities? To seek and to save the lost. To proclaim the will of God openly and boldly before the people of that day. And as you look to the personal ministry of Christ, good people, Jesus, His personal ministry consisted of about 3 years. And during the course of those 3 years, Jesus went everywhere doing good, showing the kindness of our God. So much so that the Scripture identifies unto us is that Jesus Christ was filled with kindness. Mark chapter 14, verses 13 through 21, and Mark chapter 20 and verse 24. And today, our Lord serves as an example for you and me. In all things, we are to hear Him. We are to understand what it is that He's commanded of us. We are to follow Him, and in following Him, we are to serve Him faithfully as children of God, as brothers and sisters of the Lord Christ. In this, then, we also understand our service to Him necessitates, then, that we follow in His steps. The elect of God, as Christians, we must put on kindness. Kindness is a Christian grace, and it must be applied to our life. Why must it be applied to our life? Because God commands us to add to our faith kindness and goodness. Why must it be added to our life? Good people, because if indeed we add to our faith kindness and goodness, it is identifying that we are a product of the Christ Himself. It identifies in part that you and I are connected with God. It identifies that we're not just making claims, but rather that we're willing to follow through to identify, to exemplify before the world that we are truly children of God. Why? Because that which was true in His life, that which was characteristic of Him, goodness and kindness, in like figure, then they're able to look to you and me and to see it. And whenever we think in regard to you and me having kindness in our life towards others, being good, doing good works, we understand is that God says is that we are to be rich in good works. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 18. Well, what does God want us to see then, or to understand whenever He says that that we are to be rich in good works? Good people, our lives ought to be overflowing with kindness and good works. People ought to look to you and me. It ought to be evident. It ought to be obvious. Whenever people look at us, that they see the goodness in us and that they see the good works that we are striving to perform. In this then, who is it that we ought to be kind towards and who ought to be recipients of our good works? Our brothers and sisters in Christ. Whenever we talk to or talk about one another, our words ought to be filled with good thoughts as well as kind sentiments towards our brothers and sisters. Our treatment of our brothers and sisters in Christ ought to reflect our goodness and our kindness. But also, we ought to be good and to be kind towards our fellow man. In what way should we be good towards our fellow man? Somebody says, Kevin, they're outside of Christ. Are you saying that we need to extend the right hand of fellowship? Absolutely not. But yet at the same time, God identifies that we have a responsibility before our fellow man, even those who are lost. In what way? We ought to be fair and to be honest with people on a daily basis. And we ought to engage them in a very good way if we see something that is amiss in their life. We ought to do what we can to inform them of that which is amiss. If we see that they have a need in life, good people, then we ought to do what we can to help meet that need. What about those who are in the religious world? What kind of a take must we take with these individuals? In no sense do we embrace them from a religious standpoint. But yet at the same time, I contend, according to what the Bible teaches, that we need to be respectful of these people. Why? Because they believe that what they have is right, even though that they're wrong. We need to approach them with the truth in love. And as we approach them in a respectful manner, we need to love them and to teach them and to do good things that will help them to understand our place with God. And that we do indeed have a sincere commitment to God in regard to our relationship with Him, but also that we are very sincere whenever it comes to our desire to bring them to a knowledge of truth. But also the Bible identifies that we need to be kind to our enemies. What is our first response whenever it comes to our enemies? Who are our enemies? We might ask. Our enemies are those individuals who speak bad about us. Our enemies are those who do things that aren't good towards us. Our enemies are individuals who do anything that's going to try and bring us harm, either intentionally or even from a non-intentional standpoint. Oftentimes, as humans, we want to retaliate. We want to say, well, you did this to me or they did that to us, and therefore I'm going to pay them back or I'm going to even the score. But yet at the same time, God reveals unto us in regard to those who do us wrong. He says, vengeance is mine, I shall repay, says the Lord. Well, what does God say in regard to the way in which we need to look to our enemies and the way that we ought to deal with them? We need to turn the other cheek. Not turn our back, but turn the other cheek. Well, somebody says, Kevin, are you saying that whenever it comes to my enemies that I need to let them walk over me? That whenever it comes to my enemies, I need to just let them continue to beat me up? I don't think that that's exactly what God is saying there. I think that what He's saying is that we just don't take vengeance. We don't take retaliation. But rather, we need to be praying for our enemies. What should we pray for? Well, I think one thing is obvious. We need to pray that they're going to leave us alone, right? That they'll make things lighter on us. But also, let's pray for our enemies. In what sense? Let's pray that their eyes will be opened, that their heart will be pricked, and that these souls will come to the love of God, and that these souls will want to become one of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and let's help them. Somebody says, help my enemy? What do you mean? They're out to destroy me. Help them. Find the things that they need in life and help them. And reach out to them with good, kind heart, with good deeds that's going to identify unto these individuals that we do love them and their soul. What should we do? How should we respond? Good people, we should speak kind and encouraging words always. Our words are to be seasoned with salt. And as we think in regard to kind and encouraging words, our words need to always be positive. There are so many negative things in the world. And while we think in regard to the negative things that are in the world, we must deal with them and we must live with those things that are in the world. But yet at the same time, we need to think of the most positive way even to deal with the negative things that we face in life. Why? Because we're Christians. We have the most positive thing that any individual could ever want in life, and that is a relationship with our God. And therefore, as we're dealing with people, we need to be positive people and to be personal with these individuals. Why do we need to be personal with them? Because our God, if you look to His goodness and kindness, He was always very personal with every individual that He came in contact with. And you and I need to emulate this. And we need to be productive in doing good. And the only way in which we're going to be able to be productive is if we are personal and positive in the way in which we approach people. But also, God says that we need to share the kind blessings that God bestows upon us. We live in a world today, in a nation that is, where we are blessed beyond measure. Why are we blessed? And somebody says, well, Kevin, I'm a hard worker. You may say, Kevin, I have worked 40 years at my job. And as a result of that, I've got a good retirement. We've got our house is paid for. We've got we don't owe anybody anything, and that's why I've got everything, or we've got everything we've got. And good people, why did you have the health? Why did you have the opportunity to work those 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, 10 years? Maybe last week was your first week. Why did you have that opportunity and the health to go into work? It's because of the goodness of God, correct? God is good to us, and God supplies us with health. He supplies us with talents to go and to do work. He supplies us with the opportunities to go and to invest our talents so that we're able to make money and to supply for our family. And God wants you and me, who have an abundance of things in this world, to share the money that He places in our care, to also give of our time, and to give of the material things that God supplies unto us. Remember those Christians in the first century? The Bible identifies in the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 45 and following, that after the Lord's church began, a great multitude remained in Jerusalem. And the Lord's church, these people were busy about proclaiming salvation in Christ, and people were gathering together in houses, and yet at the same time we find is that people had need. Why? Well, because their stay in Jerusalem was longer than they had planned for. And how did the church meet those needs? The Scripture says that they sold their possession and divided them as each one had need. And you and I need to do what we can, what we have the ability to do with the opportunities to do, to meet the needs of people who come into our life as what our God expects us to do and as Jesus Christ Himself spent His life doing. And we need to show loving kindness without respect. When you look to Christ, He was good toward and He was kind towards the Jew. But how did He deal with the Gentiles? He was kind and good towards them. Well, the Samaritans. The Jew and the Samaritans hated each other. That might be an understatement, right? They despised each other. Why? Because there was just that Jew and Samaritan thing. And the Jews, in fact, tradition tells us that rather than go through Samaria, they would walk around Samaria. In fact, in the book of John chapter 4, the Scripture says concerning Jesus and His apostles that they needed to go through Samaria. Why did Jesus need to go through Samaria? Because He wanted to connect with the people there. It didn't matter if you were Jew, Gentile, Samaritan. It did not matter to Christ. If He had an opportunity to be kind or to do good, He was doing that. And good people today, you and I, whenever it comes to our goodness, we should not allow skin color to dictate whether we're going to do good. We should not allow nationality to determine whether or not we're going to do good to people that we come in contact with on a daily basis. We should not allow status in life. If somebody as a CEO of a company, or if somebody is a worker in a factory, or if they are working at Walmart versus the President of the United States. It doesn't matter a person's background whenever it comes to our opportunity to be kind unto them and to do good. God says that you and I need to reach out no matter who they are, no matter where they're from, no matter what they look like. Why? Because that is indeed the way in which the Lord dealt with people. And we need to stand faithful in our acts of kindness. I'm going to be totally honest with you as I stand before you. I hope to pray I always am. But in that, in regard to the way in which some people are takers. Would you agree with that? There are some people who are professional takers. And what I mean by that is that they'll knock their way through the churches in a community to get anything and everything that they can possibly get. And not only will they do that to churches, they'll do that to us individually. Right? Have you ever had somebody do you that way? I have. And it's frustrating, correct? It hurts to know that people do that. It's very discouraging. And God says, don't let these people discourage you to where you stop from doing good as well as from being kind unto humanity. We find that the Apostle Paul encouraged the saints in Thessalonica as well as in Galatia, that they were to always be engaged in doing good no matter what the circumstances were, as well as in regard to the way in which people had treated them or took advantage of them. Good people, what are the blessings associated with our doing good? Our God identifies is that as the giver, we are blessed immensely because of our gracious giving. In what way? Acts chapter 20 and verse 35 reveals unto us is that it's more blessed to give than to receive. As a kid, I didn't understand that. I remember when birthdays was come around and the more presents, the merrier. Christmas time, whew, couldn't wait to tear into those packages. But now, as an adult, we love to give gifts. Birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas, and to see the light, the face light up amongst those individuals who get, especially with the kids. Amen to that? Kids love getting gifts. And in that, what a blessing it is on our part to see how it brings joy to someone who is a recipient of our goodness as well as our kindness. But also, it helps to illuminate that we are children of God. Understand, one cannot work his or her way into heaven, but yet at the same time, we are to work out our own salvation according to the will of God. In this, we understand that works are a part of it, and we identified a couple weeks ago, I believe it was, that baptism is a working of God, and therefore we must be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin in order for us to be a child of God, to have our sins forgiven. Still also, the Bible says that if we are doing good works and if we have kindness in our life, it reveals whether or not we are a child of God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And we understand that we are to add the fruit of the Spirit to our life. Well, what is that? A part of that is goodness and kindness. And if we want to be identified amongst the people that we live in and amongst each day as children of God, good people, we ought to be engaged in doing good and kind deeds each and every day. But also, we understand is that kindness helps to build a good report. We want to have a good report amongst people that we rub shoulders with each day. Why? Why should we have a good report with people? Well, so that they don't think that we're hypocritical above all, right? We can't say that we're a Christian and yet go out and live like we're of the world and expect God to save us. It's not going to work. But also we understand is that as we are doing the good works of God and as we are demonstrating the kindness of Christ in our everyday walk of life, good people, it opens doors for you and me to evangelize. If we want to win people to Christ, show them the kindness of God in your life, in our life. Show them the good works of God through your deeds each and every day. And I will promise you that not only will we continue to grow, but our growth here at East End will abound. Elders, wouldn't it be great to maybe someday say we need to build another building? Not for the sake of numbers, but for the sake of souls. And our kindness and our good works, our involvement in the Lord's work in every way can help to accomplish that. I go back to the words of Christ, or to the words of the man to Christ in verse 40 of Mark chapter 1. He says, if you are willing, our help, our goodness, our good works, our kindness is based off of opportunities. And God gives us opportunities. Amen? But also conjoined with abilities. If we don't have the opportunity, then we're not going to be able to do good. But yet at the same time, opportunities come. And if we have the ability to do good, we ought to do good. If we're not willing, then nothing good is going to get done. Kind acts are not going to be shown. Jesus said, I am willing, be cleansed. And today I ask you, are you willing? In your life, do you show the goodness of God? do you do the good works that is necessary for you and your life and your relationship with God, but also to shine as a light into the community of which we live in? Are you willing to serve God to that end, to where that you are filled with goodness and kindness? But also, today I ask, are you willing to become a New Testament Christian if you're not one? To confess Christ to be the Son of the living God and to submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If you are not a New Testament Christian, we want to invite you with His call